performed the last few days. Can't wait to hear some from our missionaries. You know, they had a big typhoon there back in, it was a couple days ago, back Friday. And close to 400 people died. Several hundreds of people are injured. And through the eastern and central part of the Philippines. I don't know if you caught that or not. Every time some cameras, we support over 35 missionaries in the Philippines. So when something happens in the Philippines, right away I get my attention. So you pray for our folks. There's a lot of hurting people in the Philippines right now. That typhoon was 165 miles an hour. Brother Mercado, have you heard did you hear anything from home? South of Manila. Everyone's okay in your family? I'm glad to hear that. But it was a very devastating typhoon. I think they call it typhoon or hurricane, whatever you want to call it. It's a 165-mile wind, whatever you want to call it. That's devastating. And they had a count of over 400 people were killed and hundreds injured. They haven't found hundreds of people or buried. And remember, not only do we have missionaries, but those missionaries had converts that we've helped win to Christ through our missionary. That's our brothers in Christ that could be in peril there. I'm here with the preacher. You understand what I'm saying to you? So let's pray for them and ask God. I know I'll eventually get some reports because some of the missionaries will write me and we'll find out. But I'm glad to hear that your family's, I thought about your family. I thought about a lot of our families that are over there. Brother Elmer, is your family okay over there in the Philippines? Good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. All righty. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. So glad to have you today. Good to see visitors. Let me encourage you again, put me one more plug for my adult class. If you didn't come for Sunday school, get up just 1 hour early and come. Let me teach you the Bible. And most of you go to work 8 or 7 o'clock in the morning. Man, Sunday school, you're sleeping in for Sunday school. Sunday school's 9:30. You know, and you know what? Some of you are sitting in McDonald's or Burger King or Big Boy or somewhere having breakfast. Used to always irritate me when I was in Toledo. A bunch of so-called faithful Christians at Liberty used to, when I was a member there, they'd be instead of Sunday school, they'd be down in the local restaurant around the corner. For Sunday school, they'd be having breakfast. Then they'd come for church. Well, I'm thankful for everybody that comes for church, but I sure wish I could get you for church and Sunday school. And I think you'd be a better person. I think I can give you more flapjacks here than you could at the Big Boy. Amen. Let this Big Boy serve you. Hey, we're having Big Boy Sunday next Sunday. Come and let the Big Boy serve it to you. And we're only on the second. We'll be starting lesson two. I'm having a great time with these lessons. And if I can get them to teach it to you, I can help build your lives for Christ. And alrighty. Today I want to talk to you. Here's the title, Brother Danny. The Wonderful Christ of Christmas. The Wonderful Christ of Christmas. Now, we have a lot going on this month. We have our Christian school is going to be doing a Christmas play. I think it's the 16th. I think that's the 16th. Is it in the Bulletin? That's a Saturday night. 17th is the Christmas Cantata. We have the 20, I can't remember, is it the 21, 20, somewhere in there for the senior ABL program. Then Christmas service the 24th and 20, that Sunday night also. And so we got a lot going on, amen? And so, this is a time of year that many times we get so busy. I think we get so caught up in the commercialism and we get so caught up with the world. I think we lose the specialness and uniqueness of Christ in Christmas. And this morning I want to just try to challenge you to kind of enjoy Christmas, what God really wants you to have. Amen. The Christ of Christmas. Note, let's stand for reading God's word. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read you the Christmas story. Well, it's in out of the book of Luke chapter 2. We're so glad you're here today. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass, and by the way, it always does, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Hasn't changed, has it? And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed with everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so maybe she wasn't pregnant, she was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days, you know, if they would tell people, I'm with child, maybe we could help stop abortions. See, when you say I'm with child, that abortion's murder then. When you say I'm pregnant, you're not acting like there's something in there that's really alive. That's a real child in there. And by the way, you used to be one in there too. Good thing they didn't abort you. Amen? I didn't have that plan, but boy, that's pretty good stuff there. I had nothing thought about that. Notice verse 6. I'll move verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, talking about Mary, and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Boy, today they're trying to kick Jesus out. They don't want Christ in there. It hasn't changed. 2,000 years and it still hasn't changed. There's still no room for Jesus, is there? And there were in the same, but I want you to make room for him. Make him the special honored guest that they should have when he was born. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's why the whole world celebrates it. It was for all people. He was born for all people, not just Americans. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He tells you that Savior was. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't Allah. It was Christ. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child, this child. And all they that heard it wondered at all those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying. Boy, that's how we ought to be. Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. Praise God. Jesus was born for you and I. They got excited back then. We ought to be more excited. Father, we thank you for the wonderful story of the birth of Christ. A story that should forever be told. A story that could never be erased. A truth that will stand for the time of ages. And Lord, we thank you for what the meaning of the birth meant to all of us. And so, Father, we pray that you'll bless today. Help me be a blessing as we speak the wonderful riches of Christ. And help me, Father, to encourage them to lift up the name of Christ. And Lord, hold Christ close to them during this season of Christmas. We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I just read to you the Christmas story, and I noted, I will never, Brother Carey, I will never grow weary of hearing the wonderful story of Christmas. I love to hear the story of Christmas. You know, and I know that, let me encourage you to share the story of Christ. Just about every Christmas day, even when my kids were growing up, before I ever opened, let them up a present, and I'd sit down, I'd read them the Christmas story. You know, read the Christmas story to your family. It's a wonderful story about Christ being born for you and I and for them. And I think in all that goes on at Christmas, many times we lose the importance of the meaning of Christ in Christmas. Amen? And so just think, I got this, just think, God loved you and me so much. God loved mankind so much that he sent his only begotten son, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, just for you and I and all mankind. Can anyone say amen? You see, Brother Freddie, when you read that birth, that Jesus came just for you. You need to get Christmas down to a personal one-on-one. Christ came for Freddie Davis. He really did. He came for Bobby Shell. You name your name. He came for Tom Saylor. He came for Brother Dave. You name your name. He came for everyone. Listen, Christmas ought to be special because he personally came just for you. Jimmy, he really did just come for you. If there would have been only one person, he still would have came just for Jim. That's how much he loves mankind. That's how much he loves you. You know, Christmas is filled with love because the God of love came down. Amen? Now notice, this supernatural birth, this miraculous birth, this heavenly divine intervention from God for mankind goes beyond man's ability to fully grasp and comprehend and understand the profound love of God for their eternal souls. That's why people miss Christmas. It's so profound that God would come down to man. Think about his love. He didn't have to come down, but he did. I want to read to you just a few verses. You can just listen to it, or you can let me quote to you. Galatians 4:4 says this, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons." God came down so you and I could be redeemed, so you and I could be saved from our sins, so we could become a child of God instead of a child of Satan. Amen? I noted in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, what a tremendous verse. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he came from the splendor of heaven, yet for your sakes he became poor. He came down to Bethlehem manger." He gave up all the adoration, all the praise, all the wonderful things of heaven, and came down to a sin-cursed earth. Can you imagine? You're talking about the difference of heaven and earth. What a difference. He came from praise to shame. Are you with me? Notice, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He made all poor men rich in him. See, everyone was dead in their sins, going to hell, but Christ made a way so you could come out of that and have the splendor of eternal life in heaven. Can anyone say amen? I'm going to read to you another scripture from Romans chapter 8. I love the book of Romans. I'll be in the book of Romans chapter 8 this Tuesday, matter of fact. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read a few verses from chapter 8 of Romans. In Romans 8, verse 31 and 32. "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" I'm glad God was for us. Whether you're for him or not, he's still for you. He proved it by coming down. He proved it by his son dying on the cross. He proved it by his son raising the third day. He proved it by going back to heaven. He proved it by his promise to return for you that put faith in him. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." See, Christ was a gift from God the Father to all the world. He was a wrapped present gift, Christmas gift for the whole world, for those who take it. But he that spared not his own son, but delivered up for us all, how shall he not with also freely give us all things? If he didn't hold back the jewel of heaven, what else would he hold back? He'll give you anything. He gave you the most priceless thing there was. And then it goes on to verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm glad he loves us today. Don't ever doubt the love of God. You say, no one loves me. I'm going to tell you, God loves you. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You'll never separate the love of God from you when you have Christ. So, what a profound love of God, having his only begotten son being born of a virgin in the manger in Bethlehem. I've noted the songwriter, Brother Carey. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. You know, the most powerful, I thought about this is a computer age we live in, and boy, they've got computers now that can compute computers, amen? And you take the greatest, most powerful computers of our day, they cannot calculate or compute the data how marvelous, Brother Brian, how wonderful the love of God is for you and I. There's no way to compute it. The computer cannot compute. That's how great it is. The birth of Jesus Christ will go down in history of all mankind as the greatest birth and the most important birth that ever took place in all the history of mankind. The birth of Jesus Christ should not be overlooked as its importance to you and I, because he came just so you and I could be saved. But many times Christmas is overlooked. The birth of Christ should not be overlooked. It should not be overshadowed by the day after Thanksgiving specials. That people go up, they stay up all night and go out the next day and try to get those specials that they put out, and they only have 10, and you get there at 3 o'clock in the morning and you still can't get one. Amen. How many of you ever went out those after Thanksgiving specials? I went one time. About 5 years ago or so, I went one time. I went to Walmart. I got with Shannon Daphne and all the, you know, a bunch of the folks from the church. Hey, you go? I said, yeah, I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going. I'm going to be there. So I got in the line with the rest of them. Man, we rushed, and I did the most stupid thing I found it afterwards. I grabbed a grocery cart. I thought you were supposed to grab a cart. No one grabs a cart when they open the doors. You grab the gift that you want. You forget the cart later. The cart slows you down. I didn't know that. Them grills know all the ins and outs, I'm going to tell you. I get to the thing, and I start to grab this, and two women, what? And they're pulling it. I was there first. They said, you're not, how dare you? I said, what? This is the last one, and I said, hey. This is my first one. I don't know the ropes yet. They said, we're going to rope you. I said, nothing's that important to me. You can have it. I walked away. Let them fight over it. I don't know who got it. I'm just glad I didn't get it. Amen? And I'm not talking about the present. They were, I'm telling you, those early shoppers, they'll rip your eyes out. They'll bite you. They'll claw you. They'll kick you in the shins. Nothing's more important than that early bird special, whatever they call them. I'm a seasoned veteran. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care how great it is. I'll never go to another one. They try to get me. I say, no, you guys go. I said, I'll wait for 3 or 4 days, and then I'll go. If they have anything left, that's all right. If not, it's not that important. Amen? Amen. You know, and I think we get caught up We get so caught up, and then they hit your car in the parking lot, dent your cars and everything. You couldn't pay me to go out there again, Brian. Some of those people sleep all night long. They're waiting there the day before in tents. They're sick. There's nothing as far as the world. There's nothing that important. Boy, I wish we'd get excited about soul winning. Stay out all night to go win someone to Christ that like that. Boy, we miss it, don't we? I just got 100 people mad at me. I'm not telling you not to go those Thursday, Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving specials. Just don't ask me to go with you, amen. And don't ask me to pray for you because it's beyond prayer. There's not enough prayers in the world to help a person in Walmart and that special and those Bargain City, whatever those Best Buys. No way. Oh, my. And see, I don't think we should overshadow Christmas with those, but it gets overshadowed with the commercialism. It gets overturned. Christmas is overlooked of the importance of it. I'm gonna tell you, just like those shepherds got excited because the great joy came, because they saw a Savior was born that day for them. Now I'm gonna tell you right up front, I don't believe Jesus was born in December. I don't know what month he was born in, but it sure wasn't December because the shepherds were out in the fields and they wouldn't be out there if it was snowing. Hello? I mean, this is man-made. I'm just glad that they took a day aside and honored the birth of Christ. I don't care if they'd have made it in July. I'm just thrilled that they have a day that they set aside that in the whole world honors the birth of Christ. I don't know the date. I don't know if he was born on December 25th. Matter of fact, I don't believe he was born on December 25th, but I'm glad that we have that date set aside that we honor that we at least recognize a day in the year that he was born. And the day he was born is more important than the date. The fact that he was born for you and I is the thing you should cherish and hold close to your heart. Because without that birth, you and I have no chance to get to heaven. We're still dead in our sins. So the birth of Christ should not be overlooked as of his importance. It should not be overshadowed by the day of after Thanksgiving specials. It should not be overturned by Xmas trees and happy holidays. Don't say season's greetings, happy holidays. Don't send out Xmas cards. Send out Christmas cards if you're going to sell it. Brother Wade, I preach Totten every Wednesday. Get that tape on Wednesday night or go up on the internet. Robert puts all my messages up on every service. He's got my Sunday school lessons going up there too. I'm glad to see that. And I preached about, I'm not letting them take Jesus. They've taken so much out of Christmas now. They took the Christmas scene, the nativity scenes. They took Silent Night and they've taken all kinds of stuff out. And now they want to take the word Christ. They don't want people to mention the word Christ during Christmas. Kids, duh. If you take Christ out of Christmas, you have nothing. Christ is the essence of Christmas. He is Christmas. He's the reason for Christmas. See, they don't care about you having a holiday because everybody likes paid holidays. Even the UAW. Or the Teamsters. Not against them, by the way. Not against it at all. I used to be a union steward years ago when I worked in the factory. The world's not against you having a holiday. They just don't want you to have a holy day. See, they're not against Merry Christmas. They're not against Merry Happy New Year season's greetings. But the moment you name Christ, then it gets personal. Then that's a personal day. You're recognizing a person, which is a Savior, Christ. Amen? Notice, I noted this. Christmas is celebrated by all the world. And it should be, because Jesus was born to be the Savior of all men, all through the world. 33 years later, after his birth, which he was born for all men of the world, he died for all mankind on Calvary's cross. 3 days after that, after his death, he arose from the grave to give all mankind hope of eternal life. Why shouldn't man get excited no matter where they live? Jesus is a giver to all people. I want you to, have you still got Luke open? Read what the angels proclaimed to the shepherds in verse 10 and 11. Here's the angel speaking to the shepherds. And the angels, I'm in Luke 2, 10, said unto them, fear not. By the way, if you had an angel come in front of you, you'd be afraid too. Right. Oh, I wouldn't. Yes, you would. I would be too. I don't know, nowadays with the kids' wild machines, they probably wouldn't even be phased anymore. On the computer, they got so many crazy monsters and stuff on there. Probably maybe nothing would offend, nothing would phase them anymore. I think we have no sensitivity to reality anymore because there's so much stuff that's thrown in front of us constantly. Oh, guy just got his head ripped off. Oh, I see it every day. Computer and stuff. Hello. You know, Brother Carl, we're losing the sensitivity that God would have us to have for things of life. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Man, Christmas is all about good tidings. It's about great joy. Man, we ought to be excited about it. Why? Look at verse, and which shall be to all people, not just Americans, not just Filipinos, all people. We don't have a reserve sign just say just for us. No, it's for all people. Because God's not a respecter of persons. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. By the way, capital S and seven letters. If your Bible got six letters, you got the wrong Bible. Because seven is a number of perfection. God is perfect. Jesus was perfection. Six is a number of man. Antichrist will have the number of man. 666. So you got the world's Savior, S-A-V-O-R, six letters. Then you got God's Savior, which is the real one, S-A-V-I-O-U-R, seven letters. How many are with me? You see a six-letter Savior, that's the world's Savior. As far as Antichrist, six. Six is the number of man. Number of Antichrist is 666. Three sixes. Are you with me? Notice what it says. From the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not Allah. It's not Muhammad. It's not the Reverend Sun Moon. It's not Jim Jones. It's Christ, the anointed from God, the Savior of the world. Can anyone say amen? Listen, you cannot take Christ out of Christmas. Christ our Lord is what Christmas is all about. Christ our Lord is the essence of Christmas. To remove Christ from Christmas, then you would no longer have Christmas. And by the way, that's why the world wants to take that name from Christmas. They've already taken the songs, the manger scenes, the Star of David. Are you with me? They've already taken prayer out. They took the Bible out, Ten Commandments out. Hello? How many are still with me? And little bit by little bit. And now they're working up to it. See, the devil always works slow. He takes a little bit at a time. And next thing you know, he's got everything. That's what these civil liberties are trying to do. These civil, not the union, but these civil liberty unions. Are you with me? It's supposed to be civil rights. They're devil rights. And we need some preachers to start preaching against them. We need some Christians to start standing up and say, no, you're coming from darkness. We're going to stay with the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Now they want to take Christ out of the word Christmas. They don't care if you say mas, don't say Christmas. Because once you take Christ out, then you don't have the day of his birth. Hello? How many understand what I'm saying to you? You see, isn't the world's evil, aren't they? Watch out. They're subtle, like the serpent is. Stay with me. You would not think anyone anywhere in the world, the entire world, would ever want to abolish or blot out the birth of the Savior that came down from them. Anybody in their right mind, Brother Freddie, who would want to take out the name Christ and get away from Christmas that came down for them? You say, preacher, why would anybody be against Christmas? Christ came for all people. Why? I'll tell you why, and I want you to read it. I'm going to show it to you in just 1 minute. But there are many today that are vocal and against the wonderful Christ of Christmas. They want to make no room for Christ in Christmas, as they didn't make room for, there was no room for Christ in the inn in Luke 2:7. Over 2,000 years has passed, and the Christ, the wonderful Savior, is still not welcome with many people. Now there's a movement by evil people of darkness. I call them evil people of darkness, to no longer make room for Christ at Christmas. And I want you to see it. Turn to the Gospel of John with me. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Well, this message won't tickle nobody's ear today, but I'm just trying to get some real truth down in your heart. The basic truth I'm giving you, they're trying to take away. Look at the most popular verse in the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He proved his love by sending Jesus at Bethlehem. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Stay with me. Verse 17, John 3. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but yet you never know it, the way they hate him. But that the world through him might be saved. That's why Christ was born, so fallen, lost man could be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Watch 19. And this is the condemnation, that light, I circled that in my Bible. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. That light is coming to the world, Jesus. And men love darkness rather than light. Why, preacher? Because their deeds were evil. How many see that? I'm going to tell you, the reason those people of darkness don't want Christ, he brings light. And they don't. They want to stay in darkness. Did you ever notice everything? Remember people, when they want to do things secretly, they do it in the dark. Hello? Bars are always in dark. Places of ill repute are always dark. How many are still with me? There's something about darkness that lines up with sin. There's something about light that lines up with righteousness. See, when you get in the light, it manifests as righteousness and exposes sin, and they'd rather live in sin than to repent and do right. Notice verse 20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Don't marvel that they hate you. They hated him before they hated you. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. See, those people don't want Christ in Christmas, they're God haters. Let's just look up here, Christians. Let's just put it where it is right now. You're gonna see a lot more of this. I'm telling you right now, you've got one preacher that my fur's up. I mean, I got stroked a few weeks ago, and I just made my mind up. I am going to let it fly. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see things come up, and they're going to try to attack Christians and attack Christ. But I don't care. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to speak out for the things of God. Amen. David preached that funeral last night. At Wood's funeral, he said, Dad, he said, I didn't care. He said, I'm going to preach Christ. I don't care if they hate me and throw me out. He preached Christ, and a lady came and got saved. Amen. I said, you did the right thing. And Christians, I want you, don't be ashamed of our Savior. Carrie, I'm tired of Christians being ashamed. It's about time, Bobby, we just say no. I'm fed up. By the way, I'm a Christian American or American Christian. This country was founded on Christianity. These people don't like Christianity in America? Then get out. America was founded on Christianity. I'll tell you, they've ruffled my feathers, Rod. They crossed me, as you would say. Now I'm mad. I'm going to let the world know it. I'm not backing down. I'm going to stay with my Savior. Don't care what they say. Matter of fact, now I'm going to try to promote it even more. They provoked me to do more. I'm glad they did. I do better when I'm mad. Now, I got to close here. Jesus said those people that went against him were people of darkness. Now, listen to this. Even if they accomplished their evil deeds to eliminate the wonderful truth of Christ of Christmas, and by the way, I look for it to happen. They've already got rid of the manger scenes. They've already got rid of Silent Night. They've already got rid of prayer. They already got rid of the Bible. They got rid of the Ten Commandments. Hello? You can't, the public school can't even have a Christmas play no more. Well, they can have a play, but they can't have, call it Christmas. How many are with me? They can't have Christ in it. Huh. What's next? They're going to eliminate the word. They're going to take Christ out of Christmas. And now they're going to say, we're having a holiday. It's just any holiday you want. Put it. It's your special holiday. The whole world has this. And then whatever you want, that you call it that day. That's what they're leading up to. You mark her down. It's coming. Not me. I'm going to have Christmas every year. They want to take the wonderful Christ out of Christmas. The fact is and the truth is this. Jesus was born for you and all mankind. And the fact is, nothing Satan tries to stop or his followers of darkness try to deny can never change the fact. I love it. Look at verse 11 again. Luke 2. Luke 2:11. Even if they get the name of Christ to be removed from Christmas, the fact is the matter, it's still there. You know, you can say I don't believe it, but it still doesn't change it. You can take the name out, but it's already happened. How many are still with me? They can say that there's no more Christmas, but too bad. Christmas already happened 2,000 years ago. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what the world says, Brother Carl. I don't care what they do. They can take the name off anything they want. They give all the Xmas trees and happy holiday season. But the fact of the matter, 2,000 years ago, the Son of God came down, born of a Virgin Mary, and born for you and I so we can be saved. And no matter what the world, they see they're like the devils hate Christ. And see, that's the fangs of the devil working through people of darkness. They hate it. They despise Christ and anything that revolves around him. I thought it was pretty wonderful for all these years. The world recognized it. That was always a plus for the Christian. Hello? Not no more. Now watch this. I'm going to close. Notice he's the Savior of the world. Romans, don't turn to it. Let me just quote to you. Romans 7:4 teaches us that we are married to Christ. The Bible says we're married to another in Romans 7:4, even to him that raised from the dead. Jesus is the bridegroom, we're the bride. Those who are saved, we're his bride. We're married to our bridegroom, Christ. How many are with me? And no matter what you do, God said, I gave you my son, and the bridegroom, and no one can ever take you away from him. They might say there wasn't. They might say that he's gone. That he wasn't. But he's already married to us. I taught the Romans class last week. Here's a little nugget for you. In the Old Testament, they allowed divorce for anything. Deuteronomy 24 says the only way you could. The only way, though, you could take your if you divorced your wife, then if she remarried, you could never take her back. Well, that's wonderful. God was preparing something even greater in the spiritual realm that we didn't understand. See, when we were first born, Miss Mert, we were born in the first Adam. We were married to the first Adam when we were born. Wherefore, by one man, Romans 5:12, sin entered one, death by sin. So then death passed by all men for all of sin. We were all born in the first Adam. Andy, when you got born again, you were born in the last Adam, Christ. You got the first Adam that you were born with, you were married to. Then you got your second Adam you were married to now. You divorced your first Adam and went to the last Adam, Christ. You can never go back. In other words, you got eternal salvation. You can never lose. You can never go back. That for you that are saved, you can never go back because God forbids it. Amen? Now, stay with me, and I'm just going to quote you this. In closing, and it's 10 minutes to 12, don't crank your neck. Let me encourage you to give you these closing thoughts. Let me give you these three words. Why you should have this wonderful Christ of Christmas. Number one, and I'm just going to quote to you. You should have this wonderful Christ of Christmas because he was a perfect Savior. He was a Savior who had no sin. He was a Savior who had to be perfect so he could be our perfect sacrifice. That's why Mary had the Holy Ghost conceived in Mary so she could be born of a virgin. So none of her blood got into Christ. If her blood would have got into Christ, she'd have been tainted. He would have been tainted. See, you get the blood from the man. If she'd had blood from Joseph in there, Jesus would have had sin. By the way, she never had sex with any man until after Christ was born, by the way. She was a virgin when Jesus was born, and she never had sex until after Christ was born. But the Holy Ghost came inside her, God came inside her, and conceived. The blood Jesus had was the blood of God. That's why they called him Emmanuel, God with us. So Jesus' blood was perfect, holy, untainted. And that's why he could be the perfect sacrifice, because he had no sin. He had no sin. It was made sin for us that we might become the righteous of God in him. He was the just that died for the unjust that he might bring us unto God. Amen? So he had a perfect Savior. Matthew 1:21. She shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Isn't it exciting? Even when God made Eve back in the Garden of Eden, he was planning for the birth of Christ. He made Eve, so the blood of the man made the baby. Hello? God was thinking about the birth of Christ when he made Eve in the Garden of Eden. Boy, doesn't he love us? He sure is a great God with all wisdom, isn't he? Second of all, not only was he a perfect Savior, but he was a predicted Savior. Or you could put a prophesied Savior. The Old Testament foretold Jesus' birth. I read to you Wednesday. Isaiah 7:14 says a virgin shall conceive and have a child. Isaiah 9:6 talked about a child shall be born unto us. So two scriptures in Isaiah talk about the birth of Christ. Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6, 700 years before Christ was born. The place of birth, Micah 5:2 said he'd be born in Bethlehem. See, it's a predicted birth. And not only was he a perfect Savior, he was a predicted Savior, a prophesied Savior. Micah 5:2 said he'd be born, Isaiah said he'd be born of a virgin, Micah said he'd be born in Bethlehem, and the time of his birth, Daniel gave the time of his birth. Daniel 9:25 said, from the commandment to restore Jerusalem unto the Messiah will be 69 weeks. And when you study the Bible, a week in the Bible represented 7 years. Illustration, Jacob worked 7 years to get Rachel as bride. Remember, he worked 7 years, and there in Genesis 29, and he gave him Leah, the tender-eyed one, the oldest. And then he had to work. Then he said, fulfill her week, and you'll have Rachel. So he worked another 7 years to get the one he wanted. In the Old Testament, 1 week represented 7 years many times. How many are still with the preacher? All right, he had 7 times 7 is 49. It took the challenge to go out and to rebuild Jerusalem took 49 years to restore Jerusalem. And then 7 times 62, 434 years, which those two together, 483 years. They had the exact year when Christ would be born. They said from the going forth that commandment that was given out back in Nehemiah's day, 483 years, he'll be born. So they had the how he would be born, a virgin, where, Bethlehem, and the time. Woo! That's a predicted Savior. That's a prophesied Savior. Amen? And then lastly, he was a proven Savior. He was a perfect Savior, so he could die for us. He was a predicted Savior, so you knew exactly who he was. And then he was a proven Savior. What do you mean? In Mark 9:31, Mark 10:33-34, he told the people, I'm going to die, the people are going to kill me, but on the third day I'm going to rise again. Then in Mark 16:6, he rises from the grave. They come to the grave and he says, hey, he's already risen. And so Jesus proved he was the real Savior sent from God. He was a proven Savior. I noted this. Everything that Jesus said would happen, happened. Everything Jesus foretold came to pass. Jesus proved he was the real Savior sent from God. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorite verses. Romans 1:4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Christ passed God's litmus test. God said, you want to know who the real Savior is? The one that can prove himself to be my son? He'll raise from the grave. And when you see that one raised from the grave, he's the real one. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, honey, baby. And it's not Pepsi, it's not Coke. It's Jesus. God said, when you see that, that'll be a proof to you. When you see, and up from the grave he arose. On that third day, the stone rolled back to earthquake. And up from the grave he arose, from a dark domain he arose, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've got a proven Savior. He was a perfect Savior. He was a predicted Savior. Listen, and make room for Jesus in your life, because he's the wonderful Christ of Christmas. And Christ is far too wonderful to let anyone take out of your Christmas. Let's all keep Christ. Let's all keep Christ in our Christmas. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time we had. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless our folks. And as we go through the hustle and bustle and all the busyness of life, my, how life is so busy, how life is so trying. Help us in the midst of all this never to lose the joy and the truth and the exhilaration of the thought that Christ was born for us. Like those disciples, like those shepherds saw that night, how they saw and looked upon the child, the Christ that was born for them. How they went away rejoicing, praising God. Help us to reflect on the great importance of the birth, what it meant to us, and what it means to us and all mankind. And Father, I just pray as people might attack the Christ of Christmas, help us to hold him up as being wonderful, wonderful. And Father, help us never let loose, let go of the wonderful Christ of Christmas. I wonder with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning before we leave, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put them down. Some might not have been able to raise their hand. And if you didn't, I appreciate you being honest. You're honest with yourself and honest with God. Can I tell you that Christ loves you? Can I tell you that Christ came here just for you? If you'd have been the only person in the world, that's how much he loves you. He still would have been born because you had to have a Savior to get to heaven. And it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. today you can make Christ your Savior. You could literally invite Christ in, and he would come in. We had a lady last week, and she's here again today, and we're so thankful. She asked Christ to come in her heart and save her soul, and I was so thrilled for that. Maybe today you're here and you don't know if you die, you'd go to heaven. But you'd sure like to know when you die, you'd go to heaven. Can I tell you that Jesus loves you and he came so you could go to heaven? But he's like that Christmas gift underneath the tree. If you don't open it up, don't receive it, it would do you no good. He's there for all people to open up and receive, but sad, many people don't receive it. Wages sin is death, but the gift of God is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wages sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. With our heads bowed, no one's looking. How many would be honest with themselves and honest with God this morning? And just say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I never really saw myself a hellbound sinner going to hell. I never realized that I really needed Christ to get me to heaven. I know about his life, but I never personally knew I needed him to save me. Didn't realize he died on the cross, shed his blood for my sins personally. And I've never personally invited him in my heart, but I'd like to do that. I'd like him to be my Savior. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Who'd say that? Pray for me. Just raise your hand. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Say, Pastor, I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Put it back down. Preacher, pray for me. I really need that wonderful Christ of Christmas. Oh, it's not enough just to know about him. You know, I know all about George Washington. I learned about him in school, but I never met him personally. You might have heard a lot about Christ, but you've never personally met him. And you must personally meet him one-on-one to get to heaven. Heavenly Father, help us to understand that all people must receive him, Christ, as their Savior, personally. Scripture says, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, Father, I pray with all my heart that they'll understand that he that the Son hath life, he that not the Son of God hath not life. And these things are written that they might know that they have eternal life, and that they might believe on the name of the Son of God. Help them to understand that God commended his love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Put in our hearts, Holy Spirit, the need of a Savior that loves them so dearly, that came specifically just for them. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. If you'd like to ask Christ to come in your heart, you come right now. You just come. You just come.